You'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We are going to look at verses 19 to 23 together. 1 Corinthians 9. If you'll follow along in your Bible while I read this text and note what Paul is saying. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. And to those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Let us pray. Father, I ask your blessings upon the reading and the preaching of your word this morning. May your Holy Spirit help me deliver a message that will impact our lives and impact our church. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm preaching a series of messages in support of this transformational church emphasis that we're going through. The authors of the book, Ed Stetzer and Tom Rainer, have identified seven characteristics of churches that they believe have the greatest impact on making disciples and reaching their community for Christ. And we are going to see the first of seven principles that characterize transformational churches. The first is, as you see in the title, developing a missionary mentality. Now, as they've done lots of surveys, and as they have identified churches that have transformational impact, of those churches, they found that 81% agreed with this statement. Our congregation cares deeply about the people in our city or community. You're going to be asked to answer that question in relationship to our church, along with a lot of other questions starting next week. And so our authors conclude that indeed, if we're going to be a transformational church, we must have a missionary mentality. That's the key component in transformational churches. And I believe the text of Scripture that I've just chosen is an excellent text in support of developing a missionary mentality. Now, the key phrase that is repeated five times in four verses is this phrase, that I might win. That I might win, he says. Paul's objective was to win people to Christ, to win people to greater discipleship of following Jesus. We have heard, most of us, the term soul winner. That term has kind of come out of vogue in today's church. But yet, as you look at this text where Paul says that I might win, that I might win, that I might win. Indeed, being a soul winner is what Paul was about. And he talks about it here. The same word, win, is found in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, where Peter exhorts wives to win their unsaved husbands to the Lord, not by badgering them with their words, but by their submissive conduct. And so the Bible talks about seeking to win over people with the gospel of Jesus Christ to faith in Jesus Christ. And each of us are to be involved in winning people to Christ. The church is to be about winning people to Christ, as Paul shares here. Now, Paul was a realist. He knew that he would not win everyone to Christ. And so he mentions that I might win some. He was glad for every soul that surrendered their heart to Jesus Christ. He wanted to win at least some. But as we see in verse 19, He was not content with just a very few won to Christ. He wanted to win more. Notice He says in the last of verse 19, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more, He says. Paul wanted to win more people to the Lord. And I think the gist and summary of what Paul says in this passage is found in verse 23, where he says, Now this I do for the gospel's sake. Paul was always mindful of the fact that he should do nothing to hinder the gospel, and he should do everything that will help the gospel penetrate the hearts and the minds of people. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Having an attitude where I do all things for the gospel's sake. Now, we see Paul already mentioning this in 1 Corinthians. In chapter 6, he says that Christians should not take Christians to court because it would hurt our gospel witness. It's all about the gospel. In chapter 8, he would not do anything to cause a weak believer to stumble because he was wanting to develop them, not hurt them. He would always do all things for the gospel's sake, because Romans 1:16 says, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so I want to challenge us this morning to develop the missionary mentality that Paul expresses here, that we will not do anything to hurt our church's witness or our own personal witness, but that we will do everything to further our church's witness and to help our church's witness in the community. And the need has never been greater. It may be a surprise to you that they're saying that our country is now has the third most unbelievers of any country in the world. Only behind China and India. Now, that's hard to believe. A nation which was once such a bastion of Christianity has more unbelievers now than the vast majority of the nations of this earth. So we've got to win them, and we've got to win more. And so let's see what Paul says he would do in order to advance the gospel and not hurt the gospel. The first is this. We must become a servant to others for the gospel. He says again in verse 19, For though I am free from all men, he was free in Christ, and yet he says, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. The Apostle Paul would be willing to make sacrifices of his own personal liberty and some of his own personal preferences in order to reach the people he was trying to reach. The gospel was preeminent unto him, and he was all about serving people, not serving his own self-interest, but serving others. And where did he get that from? He got it from Jesus. He said, Jesus said in Matthew 20:28, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. I think of those who have served in our military and how they have put their lives on the line to protect us and to save us from those who would harm us. And they make so many sacrifices. Their family makes so many sacrifices in order for them to serve our country. And they do it to save us from physical harm. Well, how much more should we become servants to save people from sin and death and eternal separation from God. Our mentality should be, I'm here on earth to serve God, and I'm here to serve the interest of the gospel in reaching people for Christ, in rescuing sinners from sin. And you know, I wonder how many of us are willing to sacrifice a relaxing evening at home in order to make visits for the Lord, or in order to share faith with someone who needs Christ. I wonder how many of us would give up a Saturday morning at home in order to minister out in the community in the name of Jesus. The first thing we should do is develop a servant mentality in order to reach people for Christ. But the second principle I see here is this, that we must adapt to each culture we are seeking to reach. Paul clearly indicates that in verses 20 and 21. He says, to the Jews I became as a Jew. Verse 21, to those who are without law as without law. Whoever Paul was ministering to, he would adapt to that particular culture, whether it was Jewish culture, whether it was Gentile culture. Let's understand first what Paul, how he applied this principle. First of all, he was one who would adapt to Jewish culture when he was ministering to Jews. Again, he says in verse 20, to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. Now, Paul was a Jew, and he could very easily adapt to Jewish culture because he knew it very, very well. And when he would enter into the synagogue, he would fully adapt to that Jewish culture in the synagogue. As he was meeting with Jews in homes and elsewhere, he would fully adapt to Jewish culture. He would not exercise his liberty in Christ and eat food that the Jews considered unclean when he was with them. He would fully adapt to the culture in which he was in, the Jewish culture. We have a couple of examples of this in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 3, Paul had taken on a missionary associate, Timothy. His father was Greek, his mother was a Jew. And at that point, Paul was still doing a lot of work among the Jews. And yet he found that Timothy, being uncircumcised, was a barrier to him reaching Jews. And so he and Timothy agreed that Timothy should be circumcised. And so he was, in order to remove that barrier from reaching Jews. Now that was a great sacrifice on the part of Timothy in particular. But he was willing to make that sacrifice lest the gospel be hindered to his Jewish brethren. And then in Acts chapter 21, we read where Paul was about to take a missionary offering to the Jews in Jerusalem. And he went through a Jewish purification process that involved shaving his head. I don't know that I would do that. I mean, you know, but Paul was willing to make any kind of a accommodation in order to keep from hindering his ability to reach the Jews. He would do that kind of cultural adaptation to reach the Jews. And likewise, when he was with the Gentiles, he would adapt to the Gentile culture in reaching the Gentiles. It says in verse 21, and to those who are without law, that is Jewish law, as without law, he says there in verse 21. Paul mainly became a missionary to the Gentiles, though he never lost his desire to win Jews to the Lord. And he knew that if he was going to reach Gentiles, he would have to adapt to their culture. And so when he was with the Gentiles, he would exercise his freedom in Christ. And I believe he probably even ate some of the same food that they ate that the Jews considered unclean when he was eating with Gentiles. He would even eat meat from the marketplace, not being concerned whether it had been sacrificed to an idol or not. He would reach Gentiles on their turf in their way. And furthermore, the Apostle Paul, if you read his writings, he adapted his messages to Greek culture. If you look down to verses 24 to 27, you see an example of that where he uses an illustration from the Greek athletic games. Now that really spoke to that culture. It really spoke to the Greeks. And yet there were some things that took place at the athletic games that Jews in particular really had a problem with. But yet as he was seeking to reach Gentiles, he would speak in their language using illustrations that they were familiar with. And so the Apostle Paul says, I don't want anything that I do to hinder the gospel reaching people. So I will adapt to the people that I'm with in reaching them for Christ. Hudson Taylor heard God's call to the mission field and he went to China and he ministered among the Chinese people. And yet he wasn't having a whole lot of success. At one point he decided that he should adopt this principle and he began to dress like the Chinese. He began to more fully inculcate himself into Chinese culture. And so here's Hudson Taylor. Now, I don't know about wearing a skirt. I would have a hard time with that. But, hey, he was willing to wear a skirt if that would help him share the gospel with the Chinese people. I don't know if that was a skirt, but it sure looks like it. But anyway, he would adapt to the Chinese culture in reaching the Chinese for the Lord. And yet notice something very important. As we do cultural adaptation, note what Paul says in the middle of verse 21. Now he's ministering to those who are without the Jewish law, and yet he comments, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. Now he would set aside Jewish ceremonial law, but he never set aside the law, the moral law of God or the law of Christ. He was always under divine authority. That's where he would draw the line. When it came to doctrine, when it came to fundamental morality, he would never cross the line in cultural adaptation. He did not say, to the thief I became as a thief, to the adulterer I became as an adulterer. No, but in cultural aspects that are morally neutral, he would adapt to the culture in which he was in. And so, Paul would adapt to the culture. And along the same line, what did I preach last week? Romans 12:2. He talks about being transformed by the renewing of our mind, but he starts off by saying, do not be conformed to the age, the godless aspects of the age in which we're living, the wrong doctrine, spiritually and theologically. Don't adapt and become like the world in those ways. But in other ways, we are to adapt to the culture, to reach the culture for Christ. You know, as Paul says to the Jews, I became as a Jew. To the Greeks, I became as a Greek. As a Gentile, I became as a Gentile without the law. You know, we have to be careful. And let me give you one example. You know, Baptists historically, Baptists have had convictions about alcohol, about dancing in certain environments and so forth. And so imagine that your neighbor, who you've gotten to know, invites you to their child's wedding. And you say, well, is there going to be drinking and dancing there? Well, yeah, I mean, that's what we do at weddings, you know. Are you not going to go to your friend's wedding just because you have a personal conviction about those areas? I don't think so. Let me say it right. Go to the wedding. Go to the wedding. You know, go to the wedding. Show that Christians are not, you know, like the Jews who were so separatist, they never became missionary. You know, so we need to apply it in our personal lives. And, you know, we also need to adapt and understand the cultures that we're trying to reach. And let me give you a couple of examples. The first is what's called the millennials. The millennials. We have some millennials here today. And I'm long past millennial, you know, long past millennial. But yet, you know, the millennials are a distinct culture. And if Paul were here, he would seek to understand the millennial culture. And he would make appropriate adaptations, especially when he's with the millennials as he's ministering to a millennial. And let me give you an example. You know, I'm still trying to learn millennial culture, and I'm not there yet. But a couple of things I picked up on is this, that millennials are really big about authenticity. If they view you as a phony, if they see something phony about you, that's going to be a big turnoff, and they're not going to listen to you. And so we have to keep that in mind as we minister to millennials. Something else about millennials, they're really big into non-discrimination. You know, if you go around spouting your grandmother's certain races kind of talk, man, you're going to close them off just like that. Or other types of discriminatory talk. You know, you've got to understand the culture that you're ministering with and avoid those things that would be real hindrances in them opening up to you and hearing the gospel. And then we have the other spectrum, the older generation, you know. You know, the older generation has certain convictions and thoughts in their mind. And as you're ministering with the older generation, there's some things you can say and do that's really going to offend them. It's going to close them off from listening to you. And so once again, we adapt to the groups and the cultural groups that we are seeking to reach. Now, I want to show you something amazing. Those, according to the census from 2010 to 2000 to 2010, those 65 and older grew as a segment of our population by 15.1%, while the rest of the U.S. population grew by 9.7%. The largest growing age group in America today are the older adults. So what is the church doing to reach older adults? You know, I hear a whole lot in the church today about cultural adaptation to the young generation, but very little about cultural adaptation to the older generation. I spoke with a pastor the other day, and he said that his church basically is almost all 50 and under. Whereas the church used to have significantly more senior adults than they did, say, 10 years ago. And so in the process of reaching the younger generation, somehow the church, if it's going to be the true church, must also be mindful of all generations. And that's our vision, to be a multi-generational church. And so Paul would adapt to whatever generation he would minister to as much as possible. And so, what have we done? You know, in our 11 o'clock service, we have moved more toward a style of worship that is going to reach the younger generation. We've maintained an 8:30 service that is more going to reach better the older generation. These are some of the things that we have done. But you know, the big question is, to what extent do we adapt our worship to the culture we are seeking to reach? And again, to a degree, we have certainly done that. But how much more should we do? That's what we're going to be praying about. That's what our church health team is going to be talking about and discussing. But you know, I will say this, that unbelievers attend church a whole lot less than they used to. And when it, you know, what are we here for? We're here for worship, and that's mainly something that believers do. We're about discipleship. That's geared mainly toward believers. And so worship is one thing, and I think cultural adaptation or worship is important. But the primary thrust of cultural adaptation, as we see in our text, is going out to where the people are and adapting to their culture as we mix and mingle and reach them in their environments, whether it's at work, whether it's their home, whether it's their places of recreation, adapting especially in those environments. Alan Hirsch said this, "A genuine missional impulse is a sending rather than an attractional one." The main thrust in the New Testament, no question in my mind, was to go. Go, take the gospel to people in their culture and reach them in culturally relevant and contextual ways. But you know, I hope we will have more special events that we invite the community to. And when we invite the community to these special events, that's when it becomes more important to be mindful of the cultural relevance and adaptation as we bring people in and seek to adapt to the people that we are reaching. Again, our authors surveyed, and of transformational churches, 71% agreed that our leadership senses a call to our local city or community and not just our church. If we're going to be missional, our purpose is not just to reach our church, but to reach our community for Christ. And let me give you a couple of examples of how our church is moving more in this direction. On December 13th, we have been invited as a church to participate in an outreach to the children of Ettrick Elementary School, blessing their parents with gift cards where they'll go and their children will be able to have something for Christmas. We'll give them breakfast. We'll have recreation and music and different sessions for the children while their parents are away shopping. And then when they come back, the children are going to sing some songs they've learned for their parents. And Drew had an excellent idea. I guess it was your idea. That, hey, this year, why don't we invite these kids not only to sing for their parents on that Saturday, but to come to our church and sing those songs. Sing a song for our church. And we're praying that they will come. And guess what? When the kids come, who else is coming? Mom and Dad is coming. Aunt and Uncle's coming, you know, to see their kids sing in church on that Sunday. And then in the spring, we're going to do, hopefully on a bigger scale, a thank you to law enforcement officers in the community. And we're going to serve them, and we're going to minister to them, and we're going to pray for them, and we're going to hopefully share the gospel with them. That is what being missional is going to be. And again, when we're with the police officers, that's one culture. When we're at Upchurch Elementary, that's another culture. Paul says, be understanding of the culture that you are ministering in. And then finally, adapt to the conditions of those that we are seeking to reach. Paul says in verse 22, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. There he's probably talking about new Christians from Gentile backgrounds, perhaps even some Jewish backgrounds, where they were having trouble, well, in fact, mainly Jewish backgrounds, they were having trouble learning about this new freedom they have in Christ, and that they're not bound by the old Jewish ceremonial law. And so they were having trouble making this transition. And so when Paul was with them, he would not boldly exercise his liberty in front of them and do things they found offensive or conscientiously would bother them. He didn't want to do anything to hinder his ability to help them grow in their Christian walk. And so to the weak, he became as weak. He submitted himself and his liberty to them. And you know, this can be applied to the physically weak. Children. Children are the weak among us. And you know, when you're ministering to children, what do you have to do? You know, you don't talk in abstract language. You gotta get down on their level and talk on their level, more concrete level. When I talk to kids, I love to get down and on their eye level and minister to them on their level. We're talking about Drew getting more involved in children's church, and if he does children's church, you can be sure that it's going to be on their level. It's going to be something that they're going to enjoy, that they're going to understand and benefit from. We adapt to whoever we are seeking to reach. And again, he sums it all up by saying in verse 22, I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Paul's passion was to reach all people for the Lord. Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, regardless of who they were, he was all about reaching all people. He was not a compromiser when it came to doctrine or morality, but he would do whatever it took to cause the gospel to reach their hearts. And you know what? Jesus did the same thing. Jesus was called the friend of sinners. He would sit down and eat with tax collectors who were regarded as some of the worst of Jewish society. He would eat with sinners, those that did not follow Jewish ceremonial law. He would even socialize and minister to harlots at times. Jesus was a friend of sinners, and so should we be. We have to ask ourselves, how many non-believers have we developed a friendship relationship with? Leonard Sweet wrote about a harsh reality. He said, few believers have relationships, much less friendships, with non-believers. And yet Jesus was called the friend of sinners. Paul was a friend to Jew and Gentile alike. He ministered, he adapted as he could. And notice verse 23, now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. With you, he says. Being a missionary is not just for Paul and so-called missionaries. Every Christian is to be a missionary. Verse 23, he says, I want to be a partaker with you. I want you. I want us all working together to develop this missionary mentality. Will you follow what Paul says here and become a missionary with a missionary mentality? transformational churches have a mindset to be missionary in their community and ultimately to their entire world. Now here's the thing they're correcting. Some churches are so focused in reaching their community, they forget about the world mandate. I'm thankful that our church is sending these Christmas boxes to the world in the name of Jesus Christ. While we focus on our community, let us not forget that we also must reach the world for Christ. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to You in prayer and we thank You that You're a missionary God. You sent Jesus, Your Son. You sacrificed Your Son in order that we might be saved. Jesus sacrificed Himself that we might be saved. He sacrificed His time. He was a servant to others. Lord, help us as a church to be more and more and more missionary in our mentality and focus. May our church have an impact on our community and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.